You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. It's David Baer here, and I want to tell you about an email that I got yesterday. And it got my attention because something, well, first I recognized the guy who sent it to me. I recognized his name, and that's always a good thing. But then I looked over at the subject line, and it mentioned a TV show that I had been watching for the last 5 years. A show I absolutely love, and I'm sad that it's ended. And immediately, I said, well, I got to read this, right? And not only is it from somebody I'm interested in hearing from, but it's a subject that I actually am interested in. Click, and I read a pleasant little email that made an interesting point, which we'll likely get to in a moment. But here's the thing. I don't remember at any point in that email, an email which really was coming from a business speaking to me as a prospective customer, I don't remember any overt selling. And yet, in the email, there were plenty of opportunities for me to buy stuff. And this is a point I hope we get into in our conversation in just a moment as well. And you may be wondering at this point, although you probably know, because why would you have clicked on this show if you don't know who my guest is? Who is going to reveal all of the answers to these questions I posed? Well, his name is Tom Ruwitch, and I'd like to ask him to introduce himself by telling a story in the framework of an approach that I think he and I both learned from the same person, Jane M. Powers, called an intro-mercial. So, Tom, why don't you intro-mercial yourself? I don't think that's really a word, but have at it.
Yeah, I would be happy to, David. Thank you for that. And then I do look forward to talking about that email. My name is Tom Ruwitch, and coaches, consultants, professional service providers, authors, anyone who packages their expertise for sale to serve clients, hire me to power up their creative content and storytelling, because most of them are still dishing out the same old boring, blah, 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 information-only content, and then they feel frustrated and stuck when their prospects tune out and move on. So I teach them how to transform their content from boring to brilliant, how to turn the marketing process from frustrating to fun and fulfilling, and ultimately how to turn the bottom line from subpar to superb. The bottom line for you is that when you create that kind of content that's entertaining and relevant and fun, people will tune in, you'll stand out, they'll choose you when it comes time for them to hire somebody to deliver the service that they seek.
I love that, and thank you for humoring me by doing it. I wanted you to do that because I think it's very much related to what we're going to talk about today, which is how to effectively incorporate stories in the writing and communicating that you're doing, but that you don't have to start from scratch. You don't have to start from a place of not knowing what the heck am I going to write about or talk about, and that there's often frameworks or templates to help you get there a heck of a lot faster. And what you just did there, as I referenced a moment ago, was one of those frameworks. And I wonder if you might talk a little bit about that for a moment.
Yeah, well, Jane Powers is a terrific public speaker. She helps people figure out how to stand out on stage in particular. And she has this thing that she calls the intromercial. And the thing that I love about her intromercial framework is that it starts by talking about your clients, not by talking about yourself. And that is a central idea to the frameworks that I teach for how to create stories without getting stuck inside of writer's block. It begins by saying to yourself, well, why are people hiring me? Who are they? Number one, what makes them tick? Number two, and you know, why are they hiring me? What's the journey that they want to take? And so the whole construct of the intromercial is very similar to the construct of good business storytelling. You start by looking at your prospects. You answer that question, because what? Well, they're hiring me because why? Well, because they're feeling frustrated and stuck when people aren't tuning into their stories and they want to stand out. They want to get over that feeling of writer's block, of sending stuff that nobody is paying attention to, of having prospects tune out and move on. And it really is the third element of that intromercial. So here's what I do. Here's the product or service that I deliver. And what so many people want to do when they market or when they tell stories in their content is start with me, me, me. Once upon a time, I did this. Here's the story of the garage where I invented the widget. Here's the story of the ditch and how I crawled out of it. And nobody gives a hoot about any of that unless you start by making it relevant to the prospect or to the customer and making it clear that you know them, you know what they're feeling, you know where they want to go. And now, oh, by the way, here's how I'm going to get you there. That construct is really powerful and very similar to what I do when I help my clients figure out how to create those powerful stories.
So I want to relate this back to the story I shared at the beginning, because yep. I think it very much shows up in the way that you write or deliver emails. And I know today's email that I received was partially written by you and partially by your robot friend. But and that was, you know, a point they were making in that email. You know, and I know that most people who have email lists and they're delivering an email to their subscribers on a frequent basis, you email daily, Monday through Friday.
Right.
Not every email gets opened. And so, you know, sometimes I'm going to, you know, scroll and pass by your name and say, yeah, that's not really, I don't care about that. But I referenced a subject line that caught my attention, caught my interest, which I think is very much the point that you're making, right? You need to be talking to the audience that you're writing to about things that matter to them. And so right. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about your approach to how you're addressing your audience, the types of things that you're including there, because it's not like you are writing to fans of the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but for one reason or another, you decided that that was an appropriate story to tell all of us who are on your list as subscribers.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the premise that all of us, especially those of us who are experts in a particular field, who, as I describe it, are sharing or selling their expertise to serve their clients, coaches, consultants, authors, so forth. We all have tips and information and products and services that we sell that are based on that knowledge. And so we have a list of those things. And for me, one of those things is that if you are going to be an effective marketer and position yourself as a standout in your field who gets hired, you have to have confidence. You have to focus on the mindset game. You have to, you know, go for it. And what I just did there was sort of gave a little pep talk and a little lecture. And that's a point that I wish to teach and reiterate over and over again. But if I delivered that idea in yet another information only lecture from on high, I'm an experienced marketer, and in my experience, the thing you need to do is focus a lot on your mindset. You have to get out there. You can't sit back and hope good things are going to happen. You have to go out and do it. All right, great. I write that once. First of all, anybody could Google, you know, mindset and going for it and so forth. Find that post 800 times over. Find that post 8,000 times over now that ChatGPT lets you do it at the push of a button. But what I did, and the way the email that you referenced happened, is I was watching the season finale of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Mrs. Maisel, a comedian looking for her big break, Midge Maisel, said something in that episode that was powerful and delivered that same idea And the minute I saw it, I thought, I'm going to have to go back, record that, get that verbatim, because that was an email that I just heard. Because what happened is I saw something entertaining and interesting, even for people who don't know the show, well said, very powerful, good story. And I said, ah, that delivers the idea, one of many ideas that I wish to share with my list, but it's doing it in a unique story powered way. So my email was simply, hey, over the weekend, I watched the show. Here's a little background for those who don't know who Midge Maisel is. Here's something she said. Isn't that awesome? Pretty much the end. That was it in the email. And for those who know the show, it resonated probably a little more. For those who don't know the show, the words still stood out. And it wasn't just Tom, the expert, lecturing and delivering information, blah, blah, information only, blah, blah, blah emails. I'll make the same point in some future email with some other story hook, some other way that I deliver it. Could be a client experience, could be a slice of life story about myself, could be something I read in a book or see in a movie or see in another television show. And nobody who gets that next email is going to say, hey, Tom, I remember back in May, you sent me an email about the same idea with that Mrs. Maisel thing. You know, how dare you tell me the same thing now, 3 months later? That's not how it works. It's you're constantly entertaining and delivering relevant information, but you're doing it in unique and powerful ways.
So I think pretty much everything you said there could be applied to many different forms of communication, not exclusive to emails. So, you know, think about this in terms of social media posts and other, you know, even getting up and talking to a room of people, and you have to come back each and every week to your networking group, and you're running the group, and you have a story that you want to tell. Well, you can find different ways to tell the story. But here's one thing that I heard in there that I want to pull out and explore a little bit further. And that was the one of several points that I want to continue to return to.
Yeah.
And so I think this speaks a little bit to how you and others teach approaching the creation of content, is that there's actually, you know, sort of an agenda on the end of the person who or the business that is going out there and creating that content. And so I wonder if you can sort of walk us through a little bit more of the process and the considerations and the pieces of the puzzle.
Yeah, I'll do it by, lo and behold, telling you a story. And it's a story of an executive coach with whom I've worked. And her work is with business owners to help those business owners escape the hamster wheel, run better businesses with less headache and hassle and so forth. And so when she makes the list of things that she teaches and that she brings to clients, that list is going to include things like how to delegate properly, how to time block and manage your time, how to communicate effectively with your employees, mindset things, confidence, how to get over imposter syndrome, so on and so forth. So those are all things that she brings to the world as a coach. Those are things she's doing when she's delivering the service, but they're also things that she's raising in her content to say, hey, I can teach you how to delegate properly or time block properly or so forth. The great mistake that she used to make and that so many others make is writing that blog post that says, here are 5 tips to delegate properly, blah, 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 blah. In fact, she had written such a blog post before she hired us. But when she brought us in, what we said is, yeah, it's great. Talk about delegation. Demonstrate to the world that you know how to teach the business owner how to do that. But don't put it out there as just a, here are some tips, and now call me if you want to dig deeper on delegation. What we did is we found a story. And in her case, it was a client experience story. A business owner who had not gone on a vacation longer than a long weekend, Friday through Monday, in 20 years of owning his business. Never gone on vacation longer than 4 days. And the reason is because he worried all hell would break loose if he left. He worried he'd sit on the beach with the weight of the world on his shoulders, distracted and unhappy. He worried that when he would return, things would be all messed up and he'd spend 2 weeks fixing things that got broken when he left. All of these problems. And she helped him overcome that. So the email that we wrote that and became a blog post, the subject line was how a stressed out owner let go and got away. That is a classic and great story powered headline, subject line, whatever you want to call it. Because what it does is it evokes a story, a journey from before to after for the target market. Stressed out, let go and get away. Okay. And what enabled that? Well, what enabled that is delegation. The story is a parable, a fable, whatever you want to call it. Hey, I know a business owner, never went on vacation longer than 4 days. Here's why, all those things I said earlier. But this year, he finally went away, went to the beach. And by the way, there was a picture in this email of guy on a hammock on a beach looking out over the ocean, sunset, golden, orange, all that goodness. And that story gets told. And anybody who is her target market is sitting on the edge of their seat saying, yeah, I'm feeling this. This is me. You know me. And when somebody you're trying to reach in the marketplace is reacting by saying, wow, you get me, you know me, you're talking to me, they're on the edge of their seat. And effectively what's going on in their mind, subconsciously, if not consciously, is how are we going to do this? How do you make this happen for me? And it transitions in the article to, well, here's the thing. This guy learned how to delegate. Now, here are 5 tips on how to delegate properly. Same 5 tips that were in the blah, 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 boring post, but now they're in the context of the fulfillment of the journey that you want to take. We have a framework at StoryPower, the 3E framework. First E, empathize. Where's the prospect? What are they feeling? Second E, envision. Where do they want to go? What's the other side of the mountain? Or what's the mountaintop? Pick your metaphor. Third E, enable. How do you enable the journey? And if you discover all of the stories, where are they, where do they want to go, how do you enable it, all of those things that you enable, or all of the ways that you enable, I should say, delegating, time blocking, working on mindset, effective communication, those are the topics, finite list, that you want to be bringing to your audience over and over and over again. Here's how I enable transformations. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. The list is finite, but the opportunities to talk about those things are infinite if you understand how to tie them in with stories and entertaining, powerful anecdotes.
There's so many different directions that we can go from here. And yeah. And I'm going to attempt to circle back to 2 things that you shared there. The first one is where you talked about the kind of emotional connection to the story,
right,
versus the lack of emotional connection to the boring list, right? I can't imagine that, you know, she writes an email that says, here's how to delegate. First, you know, look at the things that are on your plate. Second, prioritize what's important for you, blah, blah, blah. And somebody is leaning in to that and saying, that's me, I need to do that.
Yeah.
If they are, then they don't have very much going on in their lives.
Right.
And so I think that there's a very clear argument to the need to be able to connect with people directly through illustrating. And this reminded me, I'm going to circle back to the second thing, but I'm going on a tangent for a moment,
yeah,
of when I have guests here on this podcast, particularly on the episodes that we don't end up publishing, mm-hmm, where I get a very dry, you know, step one, step two, step three delivery. And mm-hmm, then I ask them like 17 times, could you sort of explain, you know, what that might look like in the real world, so that it's a little bit more tangible? How would a business do that? Tell me about this time when a client of yours went through that and what that transformation was like. and they're never able to. Yeah. And I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know that this is going to be helpful or useful to the listener.
Right.
Okay. Now I want to circle back and I want to actually do something a little meta here, because you just told a story about storytelling, right?
Go figure.
And
right?
And then you did something which I hope that folks picked up on, because it's something that they can do in their own storytelling, particularly in the emails. Now, you'll remember earlier on, I said something about you weren't overtly selling anything in the email, except that you were. Well, in your story, you were not overtly selling the things that you do at Story Power Marketing. And yet, what did you do? You shared a framework that you have at your business that sounded really cool, sounded very enticing, and gave the listeners an opportunity to go, oh, that guy's smart. I wonder what else he's got, right? Which then leads them to want to get a little bit closer and sign up for your email list and learn what else they can learn from you. Yep. And that's something that I think, I hope you teach folks how to weave into their storytelling as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for noting that, David, because number one, we're talking about an email and a blog post and so forth, but all of this that I teach and all of these frameworks that I bring to the mix are not just about writing an email, social post, or blog post. It's about how do you present yourself live when you're on a, you know, a podcast guest chair or on a stage? How do you present yourself and connect with your audience when you're having a one-on-one, a sales consultation? How do you present yourself and become a better leader or a better coach or consultant when they connect with you? So all of those things are part of the mix and apply in all of those circumstances. You're absolutely right that what I was doing in talking about my framework and talking at one point about if you have the systems or process in place to discover those before to after journeys, then you're going to be golden. Okay. Of course I'm helping people realize, well, implied, I can help you do that. I can help you do that. But here's the thing about it. It goes back to the intromercial, David, that the only reason people are still listening and people still care is because people can relate to this idea of, yeah, I send content out and I don't really necessarily know what's working and what doesn't, and if it works, why it works, and if it doesn't, why it doesn't. And I do feel frustrated sometimes and stuck, and I do suffer from writer's block. Those are the first things I talk about. That's the empathy and the envision, going from stuck to unstuck, going from writer's block to it's flowing like crazy. And only because I start there does it matter when I say, well, there are systems and frameworks. Too many people will say, here's my widget, it's platinum coded. Here's my framework, it's, you know, certified, and I have a PhD to back it up, and I've done lots of research. Nobody gives a hoot about your framework, your widget, any of it, until you connect with them and their world and their story and their beginning and the end that they desire. If you do that, they will be on the edge of their seats. They'll pay attention.
I'll say one more thing about what you did, because it came out very naturally. And I believe that internally, it is a very natural flow for you. And witnessing, you and I both work with business owners, the transformation of a business owner who is struggling to be able to accomplish something. They start doing it, but it's very mechanical. And then eventually they adopt it into a very natural part of their existence and pattern.
Right.
It takes time, but it was very apparent the way that you talked about it. You weren't thinking or calculating, okay, and now I need to demonstrate here's what we do in my business, and I'm going to put these things in this order. It just came out very naturally. And that's where it's possible to bring somebody once you sort of present them with the structure.
Yeah, exactly. And it begins with structure. And you know this, David, and all the work that you do with business people, systems and structure and repetition become habits and second nature. And the skills that that seem magical in the work and the product that that comes out that that sometimes seems magical is not magical at all. It's a part. It's built on systems and repetition and habit formation, which is a good segue to a quote that I often cite when people are asking me about writer's block. I have writer's block. I'm not feeling it, Tom. How do I do this? And I'll cite something that Eugene Schwartz said. Eugene Schwartz was one of the most prolific and successful copywriters of his day in the late 20th century, in the 60s, into the 70s, even into the 80s. And he said, copy is not written, copy is assembled. I'm going to repeat that because it's really important. Copy is not written, copy is assembled. And what he meant by that is that it's not about, in his day, he literally used, you know, legal pads and handwrote his ads before he put them to print. It's not about sitting in front of a blank pad, or in our case, sitting in front of a blank computer screen and hoping for the magic to start to flow. It's not about summoning the muse and, you know, letting the magic happen. It's about gathering the building blocks, systems, repeat, rinse, learn what makes your prospects tick, gathering all those building blocks, and then assembling them into structures that are really familiar. Nobody day after day, month after month is reinventing how to structure an email or a video or a social post. You know, that's the easy part. Those structures are pretty darn familiar to all of us. And yeah, of course, there are different ways to put an email out there. You can do a newsletter format versus a narrative format and so forth. But fundamentally, the structure is not the hard thing. It's the stuff that you put in there. And if you gather the building blocks, which is something that anybody can learn, if the systems to master and repeat and learn, if you can gather the building blocks, then it's more craft than it is art and magic. And that's the fundamental premise behind what I do, teach you those systems that you can repeat and that become habit and become easy. So when I say transforming the process from frustrating to fun, I mean it, you know? And people look at me like, fun? Writing emails can be fun? Well, yeah, if you know how to assemble the pieces.
And I would say that reading some of your emails, it's very clear that it's fun because you're yeah. I mean, not everyone is a silly email, but you often will make light of a situation, tell a story about something that's, you know, fun that happened, or in the case of my business partner who had a disagreement with you and you wrote about that story as well. You know, I think that they're engaging, right?
Right.
You said earlier, as you were watching the show over the weekend, you noticed something that spoke to one of the points that you want to make to your audience. And and I think about this as well, is that there's a handful of points that I'm repeating, repeatedly coming back to in my emails. And I am not as prolific. I only write one a week, not five a week. And I know you're going to try to get me to write more often, but I don't care.
No, sir, I won't.
And I notice things all around me that can support the points that I want to make. And I think that's, I don't know if it's exactly the Bader-Meinhof effect, but it's this idea that things will constantly appear on a regular basis. And once you've sort of just been in the habit, that was a word you used a few minutes ago, of doing this a little while, you're going to see all those things right in front of you, which I think is, which I think makes it a lot more fun, because then I can witness, oh, I was in this store and I had this exchange with the clerk. I got to tell this story. Or I was in this store and they missed an opportunity seven times. And I'm going to tell each of those incidents and point out all of the things they could have done differently.
Exactly.
Or I think most of the emails that I write that actually get people writing back to me are the ones that I'm telling some relatable story where they've had a similar experience or observed something similar, and then they want to engage. And that makes me feel great.
Yeah. Yeah. And we run into things that are interesting and entertaining and funny and maybe sometimes a little cringeworthy, whatever, emotion inducing, I guess would be a good way of putting it. We run into those things all the time. Again, could be in our own lives, could be something we see on a screen, we read in a book, another person tells us, whatever the case may be. And more often than not, you can take those things that happen to you or that you witness and turn them into something that has business meaning. There's a guy named Matt Fury who's in the fitness space, and some people credit him as being the first great daily emailer. Ben Settle, who's very active in the marketing world these days and considered one of the great email marketers, he cites Matt Fury as his great teacher and inspiration. I listened once to a Matt Fury seminar. It was a live event that was recorded where he brought people in for a weekend to wherever he lived. And one of the activities that you can hear on this seminar is he took his group, 10, 12 people, they paid 10 grand or whatever to be there, takes them all to lunch at a Thai restaurant. And then they come back into the hotel conference room and Fury says to them, all right, we all just had lunch at the Thai restaurant. Write an email about lunch and tie it into your business. And now these people had been through a day and a half of his thing. And so their brains were primed for this thing, but they all did it. And most of them were remarkably good. And I love that story because the lesson is that in just about anything can be turned into a meaningful, call it what you will, a parable, a fable, a business story, a story with a lesson. The anecdotes are easy to pluck. The connect the dots part feels hard until, again, thank you, Eugene Schwartz, you do the work in advance, gather the building blocks, rooted in what is it that you're talking about and why is it that you're talking about it, knowing your prospects. If you've got all that stuff and a pile of bricks ready to assemble, you can connect the anecdote to meaning almost every time.
Yeah. And I love how you just did that yet again. You told the Matt Fury seminar story to make a point. I think if folks want to discover more stories from you and perhaps on a daily basis enjoy some of the way that you deliver and make points, where can they find out more and perhaps even join your email list?
Yeah, they can go to Story Power Marketing, all one word, storypowermarketing.com. And on that site, there'll be a pop-up that asks you to join the email list. And if you miss that pop-up, there's a button in the top right that asks you to join the email list. In the main navigation, there's a resources link that has some free resources, a training video, some downloads. There's one about Hall of Fame ads and what you can learn from five of the greatest advertisements I've ever dissected. And those are some of the things that can happen when you visit the website. You also can find me on LinkedIn, and that'll be in the show notes, I suppose. But
I guess they will now. Yes.
Yeah, I put you on the spot. Just search for Tom Ruitch, R-U-W-I-T-C-H on LinkedIn. I'm the only one you'll find. And reach out. If you sign up for the list or you connect with me on LinkedIn, please do reach out. Tell me that you heard me on David's podcast. And one of the things that's really important to me is when people reach out, I respond. I don't hand it off to some assistant who will respond on my behalf. I want to hear from people and I want to respond and interact and build a relationship with them.
As you have done with me, and I greatly appreciate it. And I'm glad that it brought us together again today. So Tom Ruitch, thank you so very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
David, thanks so much.
Indeed. Folks, this has been More Perfect Marketing. If you know somebody who could benefit from listening to this episode, and I'm pretty sure you do, please share it with them. Until next time, this has been More Perfect Marketing. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. Now you can put what you've learned here into practice when you join the free listener community at mpmcommunity.com. That's mpmcommunity.com. When you join today, you'll receive David's collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, plus additional business building training. So don't delay. Join us today at mpmcommunity.com. We can't wait to welcome you.